Hello, RAFV. You're listening to the Who's Who with Stu podcast, and I'm Chris Studebaker, CEO of the Realtor Association with Fox Valley. On this podcast, we'll be chatting with important stakeholders in the Fox Valley community, finding out the scoop, and sharing it with you.
First up, we have Ron and John, Stats and Trends, starring Ron Donovan, chairperson of the TechCom committee, self-professed stats nerd, and realtor at Keller Williams Inspire, and John Broadbooks, chief communications officer at MRED. We will explore and discuss current housing market stats and trends and what's going on in our local markets. Take it away, guys.
Hello, Realtor Association of the Fox Valley. It's time for John and Ron. We're here with John Broadbooks, the chief communications officer for MRED. John, good to see you. It's been a little while. How are you?
Hey, it's great to see you. Happy spring. I am coming to you from Collinsville, where I'm here for the Illinois Realtors Spring Conference and Expo.
Fantastic and beautiful Collinsville, I'm sure.
What is you know, they have the world's largest ketchup bottle here. it's not to be missed. So if you ever come down here, please go see the ketchup bottle.
That's fantastic. Do you have to bring your own fries, or do they serve those there as well?
No, but you know, that would be a really good concession. I think you should look into that as a business opportunity. If this real estate thing doesn't work out.
I'm writing that on my list right now. Well, it's been a little while since we talked. John, how are prices holding up?
You know, surprisingly well. You know, we're seeing prices continue to go up. DuPage was up about 7.5% year over year. It's at, you know, $365,000, I think, is the median price of a house there. But we're really seeing increases pretty much throughout the market. You know, in some cases, not as marketed as they were before, not double-digit increases by any means. But still, you know, if you're a seller right now, you're feeling, you know, I think pretty good. I mean, Will County, for example, they saw an increase month over month of about $5,000. So, you know, they're up to $300,000. So,
wow.
You know, throughout your Fox Valley area, you are seeing increasing prices.
Is demand slacking off at all? Are we seeing any relief from the demand side?
You know, it's really interesting. There's still, I mean, I feel like you could just put me on autoplay, right? And I could just do this loop where I just say, inventory is really low. In fact, it's lower than it's been, it's lower now than it was last spring.
Yeah.
So I think you have, even if there are people who are being priced out of the market right now, there's still so many people who want a house. They're still chasing whatever availability there is there. And, you know, it is spring, so you are seeing more stuff come on the market now, but it's just nowhere near the level that it has been in the past.
So even with inflation and the increase in mortgage rates, you're not seeing any slowdown at all in demand?
No. And see, that's the interesting thing, Ron. I mean, you know, normally, I think many of us probably suffered through economics 101 in college. And the classic supply and demand curve is that as costs go up, you know, demand begins to come back down. Mm. And, you know, what's interesting about this market is you are seeing costs go up, and costs come in the form of financing. And, you know, I think, Ron, you and I were talking about that financing is over 5.5%, 5.75, just depending on what you can get. Mm-hmm. But not only that, you're seeing the inflation rate we're now having several months of very, very high inflation rates. They just released it this morning. I think it was 8.3%. Wow. So, you know, you see those two things plus the rising prices, and you would think, okay, you know, you're definitely seeing a lot of pressure on the cost side. So that means that, you know, the demand side must be going down. I think the difference here in this market is there's so little on the market that people are still trying to buy it. They're still chasing that. And that's dampening what would be a normal impact for rising cost.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, are you're busy, Ron? I mean, you haven't stopped working, right?
No. It's still a market where as soon as it comes on, you need to rush right out and see it because, again, sometimes they're not even out there for a day when a seller gets something that they like enough just to stop showings and stop taking offers. So, yeah, absolutely. Really seeing that. We are starting to see maybe just a little bit of a relaxation in demand in the farther out counties, and just really two. I noticed in DeKalb County that demand has started to just rein in a little bit while supply still went up. So it wasn't that houses going under contract went down because there was nothing to choose from. They actually just went down, and there were still plenty to, but the same number as there were the week before and the week before that. And the same thing in McHenry County too, where inventory stayed solid, number of homes for sale, but houses going under contract actually came down a couple of weeks in a row. So we'll see. 2 weeks is not necessarily a trend, but maybe it'll come in from the farther out counties and start to move into Kane and start to move into Kendall and DuPage and Will. Be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, it will, because, you know, we're still seeing people paying a real premium. I mean, you know, we're seeing that reflected in higher median prices, but, you know, many areas of the Fox River Valley, you know, the percentage of the list price that ultimately, you know, a seller is getting is over 100%, over 100%.
Yeah.
And there's some cases where it's close to 102%. Wow. You know, when you start seeing numbers like that, you're still seeing tremendous demand pressure on the market. And, you know, you would expect to see something happening maybe. And I just don't see a lot. It's interesting that you say that, you know, cause you're on the ground and you see it more than I do sitting in a conference room in Collinsville. I just look at stats. But, you know, eventually there's going to have to be, you know, some impact from this.
Well, and that's why they're raising the rates. That's why the Fed is doing what they're doing, driving inflation. And, you know, our industry is no different. Those interest rates hopefully will calm demand. We don't want it to crash. And yet we do need it to slow down because it can't continue at the pace that it's going.
Well, and Ron, you need to be able to take a vacation, right? I mean, you can't take a vacation right now because there's too much going on. So,
that's right.
You know, forget the economy. We just need to take care of Ron.
John, I appreciate you saying that.
You know,
did you talk to my mom? She must have called you.
I will do that.
Okay. Oh, I think I thought maybe she already called you and said, just be nice to Ron this week.
No. He needs to be nice. You need to be nice to Ron all the time.
So any takeaways from, you know, from this week? That we can pass along.
Overall, you know, still a really, really strong market for sellers. You're going to be getting a premium for your price, and you know what? Even if it comes down a little bit, you're still getting a premium for what you're putting out there on the market. There are fewer transactions. This is something that you know, we're seeing across the country. I just got back from NAR's convention, and you know, there was a lot of discussion about this, but some of it's driven by inventory. You know, there are fewer transactions, but the transactions that are happening are for a higher dollar amount.
Yeah.
So the next few months, I think, are going to be key to watch. You know, prices are definitely going to be taking a bite out of expendable income. So, you know, we got to see what happens with that. But right now, I'm not seeing any indication that we're in for a lot of trouble.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you spending a few minutes and making us smart so we know how to talk to our clients and how to guide and counsel our clients. John, have a great time in Collinsville. Send me a picture of the ketchup bottle, if you would.
I will do that. I'll drive by it on the way home. And yes, make sure you come to Collinsville and see the ketchup bottle.
Thanks, John. Talk to you soon.
Take care.
Thanks, guys. Next up, help me welcome Annalise Fierstos of the Illinois Realtors Legal Department. She will be taking us through one of the main questions she receives on the Illinois Realtors Legal Hotline. Annalise, take it away.
Thank you so much, Chris. My name is Annalise Fierstos. I'm the hotline attorney with Illinois Realtors. All of my contact information is on the Illinois Realtors webpage at illinoisrealtors.org. So if you have any follow-up questions after the topic today, please feel free to reach out to me, and I would be happy to discuss any questions with you. The topic today is use of social media. I have been getting a lot of questions lately on the hotline about what needs to be disclosed if a licensee is using their personal Facebook page as a marketing tool. Hopefully everybody realizes that under Section 10-30 of the Real Estate License Act, which addresses advertising, licensees are prohibited from advertising under their own names. All advertising needs to be done under the direct supervision of their sponsoring brokerage and designated managing broker, and it also needs to be in the sponsoring broker's name. And if there's a franchise, they are required to include the franchise name. So in other words, you cannot advertise one of your listings under your own name without including the name of your sponsoring broker, brokerage, and franchise if that's applicable. And keep in mind that under the License Act, there are certain size requirements when you list your name with your brokerage. And those are also included under Section 10-30 of the Real Estate License Act. Your name as the licensee, cannot be larger than the name of the sponsoring broker. And there are some other details there that everybody should look to the act and become familiar with as far as size requirements go. There are a few exceptions. If you are selling your home for sale by owner and not using your brokerage for advertising at all, you can advertise on your Facebook page. But under that, you would make the appropriate disclosure that you are a licensee selling your property. In a for sale by owner situation, any licensee who is in the process of selling their 100% owned by themselves realty, they do need to make the disclosure that they are a licensee. And that is to protect all of the potential buyers from putting themselves in a situation where they're at a disadvantage of working with somebody who really knows the industry well. So that way they are placed on notice that they're working with somebody who is licensed and knows the industry and knows the value of the property. Thank you so much. And keep in mind that when you are using your personal Facebook page or social media, that you always need to adhere to the general advertising requirements that are outlined by Section 10-30. The use of a personal page does not exempt you from complying with all of the restrictions outlined by the Real Estate License Act. Thank you so much and have a great day.
Thanks, Annalise. Great information as always. Up next, I'll be talking with Mayor Jeff Schelke of Batavia. We're talking today with Mayor Jeff Schelke, the longest serving mayor in the history of Batavia, Illinois. How does that rank you and the rest of the mayors in Illinois?
Well, there are two other mayors, the mayor of Hillside and the mayor of Palos Park, who are also elected the same day I was in 1981. So there's three of us tied for that honor. And there was a mayor down in Hodgkins, Illinois, and I'm not sure he's still in office, but he had us beat by a few months because I think he got appointed a few months ahead of the rest of us. The longest mayor in the history of the state of Illinois is from southern part of the state, and he was in office for 64 years, so that's going to be a hard record for anybody to break.
So you've got something to shoot for anyway.
Yeah.
It's quite a legacy of public service, for sure. And then I know you serve on several other regional committees, councils, task forces.
Yeah, the big one that I'm on, since 1997, I have served as chairman of the Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning's Council of Mayors, which includes every mayor in the 287 that surround the Chicagoland area, and mayors and village presidents. And our group is the one that receives and distributes the federal transportation dollars. So we've got the region subdivided into 13 sub-regional councils, and then we take whatever the annual amount of money that comes into the region, we divide it up amongst the 13 by a formula that everybody's agreed to, and then we hand the money to the local councils and they make the decision where the money's going to get spent. So we keep the state and the federal government out of the local people's, and that's a very popular program because and we keep it running that way just for that reason. But there's been a lot of projects in the Tri-Cities that I could point to that were partially or fully funded by that program. One of them is the Geneva train station here with the parking garage. There was a lot of our money went into that program a few years ago.
So that's federal money?
Federal money.
So is that something that's appropriated every year?
Yes.
From Congress?
Yes.
Very nice. Very nice. So let's go back to 41 years ago. Mm-hmm. What made you run for mayor?
Well, it was a very interesting process. There was a group of people in town that were very prominent, and they did not like the incumbent mayor. And so they got the gentleman who the Batavia Middle School is now named after, Sam Rotolo, had been my elementary principal. And he had been a Batavia Citizen of the Year. And so one day, out of the blue, Sam Rotolo calls me and says, "Report to my office." So I goes over to his office.
Kind of like when you were in school.
Right, right. And he whips out this petition from Mayor of Batavia that had been signed by, I think it was 21 former citizens of the year.
Oh, wow.
And he says, here's a petition about you that I think you need to take action on. So that's how it all started, and I've been there ever since.
Been there ever since. And you've also been named Citizen of the Year.
Yeah, that
correct?
Was many years after that one. But
well, that's quite an accomplishment. What do you like most about being mayor?
I think, you know, at the end of the day, I see a lot of government at various levels. I don't know if we get a lot accomplished, but at the city level, you can point to the streets or the sidewalks or the new city services or programs that have been brought together or enhanced, and you can make a difference in the world. In what my mother used to describe as my wild and crazy youth in 1970, I was working as a part-time police officer in Batavia. And I was also on the volunteer fire department, and I was a member of the infantry of the Illinois National Guard. That's where this wild and crazy youth came in, because every place I went, I was carrying a gun almost or something. So on one night, December 20th of that year, we had been to a bar fight in downtown Batavia, got the fight taken care of. We had a loaded gentleman who was bleeding very badly on a stretcher, and we only didn't have any ambulances in the Tri-Cities then other than at the funeral homes. And so Geneva and St. Charles had calls before us for something, and so there was one ambulance left, and that was in Batavia. So we called the Batavia ambulance down for picking this gentleman up and taking him up to Old Community Hospital. So we get him loaded up, all his blood and everything else, put him on the ambulance. So we get out of the bar and we start to go back to the City Hall police station, and we get down there, and all of a sudden a call comes on the radio, woman having a baby in the 400 block of Pine Street. So we turn around and we fly over there, and we get there, and the lady was ready to come. And so I got on the phone in the house, because you didn't have portable radios that you carried with you, and I called down to the plant, and I called who was running the radio, and I told the plant operator, we need an ambulance here right now. So in about a couple minutes, he calls me back and he says, Jeff, I can't get you an ambulance. And with that, the mother says, I can't wait any longer. And so two firemen and myself
delivered
the baby, and it was a model birth. I mean, it was instant, and it was there, and it started crying on its own. And, you know, our biggest question then became cutting the cord and what to do with the afterbirth. And fortunately, there was a Dr. O'Dwyer in Batavia, and the plant operator called him, and he left his house and came over to us and did the necessary things.
Took care of the rest of it.
But subsequent to that, a few years later, I get elected mayor of Batavia, and we did not, at that point, have good ambulance service. So I always had this thing in my head that if I was going to do anything, I wanted to improve the ambulance. So I already knew the fire chiefs in Geneva and St. Charles, and Cully Madsen, who was the chief up in St. Charles, was very instrumental in working with me on bringing in the Tri-City ambulance service that we have today. And, you know, we first set it up under the county, and then we ended up at the cities took it over, and now we have, you know, no funeral home ambulances left. We now have 5 ambulances in the fire stations of the Tri-Cities who can respond to any location, and we have a backup, and we do.
Is that a separate taxing district?
No, the cities pay for it out of their budget based on their call volume for the year, and then you as a call us, you get a bill from the ambulance service, and most of the time, it's a lot of seniors, and so Medicare takes care of it. So yeah, there's some people get a bill, but you know, for the services we provide, but the service has turned into a model, in my opinion, and we get rave reviews about it. And so one time a reporter for the Beacon News came and said, you know, I'd like to do a story about you and this ambulance service. And so I told the story about the baby, and in fact, the newspaper, baby's now 50 years old, and they had a picture of her and I in the paper and talking about I had helped deliver her, and I had had this real unique experience about what you do when you don't have an ambulance. And so I became the chairman of the Tri-City Ambulance, and I still am 30 years later.
Oh my goodness.
That I'm still the chairman, but we got the ambulance running the right way. So I cite that as an example of how local government can come together and work together, and really, we've been very fortunate in the Tri-Cities that Batavia, Geneva, and St. Charles get along for good. We all have, we're not competing with each other. We're not trying to steal each other's land or anything else. And we've consolidated 911 now, and we've consolidated the ambulance. And I think as time marches forward, there'll be further consolidations of various city services. And it saves the taxpayers, and it provides better, I think, better services. And, you know, everybody's then running themselves under the same standards and rules and whatever. So,
would you say delivering the baby was the biggest challenge as a police officer, as your time as a police officer?
It's one of the biggest challenges of my life. I'll never forget when we got it done, and we had the baby laying in his mother's stomach. All of a sudden, I felt, what's wrong with me? And I was one mass of sweat. I had this police uniform on and a jacket, and I don't know what I looked like, but I was just totally wet just sweating it. And I mean, there was nothing really to sweat about. I think we had some angels in the room there with us, and that birth was just perfect.
That is a fantastic story. I'm not sure that we'll ever get one to beat that one for sure. So as mayor though, okay, so you survived the hurdle of childbirth. What about mayor? Like, what's the biggest challenge you've had to overcome as mayor?
I don't know. I think there's challenges that are ongoing, and they change every year. Right now, my opinion is that we as local governments are heading towards some tight financial times. We haven't said that yet. We haven't started talking about raising taxes. But I mean, I'm talking about all governments now, the schools and the parks. And, you know, Illinois is a little bit unique because we have as many taxing bodies as any place in the United States as far as total between the schools and the parks and the libraries and the townships and any special districts that you got out there. So you got a lot of taxes, and our tax bills in our area are pretty high in comparison to some of the other areas around, but you know, I think the quality of the service certainly speaks to itself. And obviously, the biggest number on your tax bill for all of us is the school district. And sure. In the case of Batavia, Geneva, and St. Charles, we're all three fortunate in that we can go to sales tax revenue, which we have a strong sales tax base in all three towns, and that I think helps us keep our share of the property tax bill at a lower rate than it would be otherwise. I know in Batavia, when I took over as mayor in 1981, the municipal tax rate for the city was $1.05. And that largely was because we didn't have much sales tax at the time. There was no Randall Road coming into Batavia. And first year I was elected mayor, the sales tax for Batavia out of downtown Batavia alone was $580,000. Last year it was in excess of $6 million. And all that's the sales tax basically coming off of Randall Road. I mean, you put all those big boxes out there, and that really does provide a huge benefit for all three towns. And, you know, people get on Randall Road, and they don't care what town they're in. You ask them what town's Best Buy in, they want to go to Best Buy, or they want to go to, you know, Walmart, or they want to go to Target or wherever. They just go. You know, it's just like it's all part of the same thing. So I think that speaks well to what we're all about here. But so as a result, our tax rate when I was elected was $1.05. Last year, this year it's 73 cents. So we've been able to reduce that tax rate down significantly because of all that sales tax coming in.
We're talking today with Mayor Jeff Schelke from Batavia, Illinois. Mayor, can you tell us a little bit about how Batavia is dealing with like inclusionary housing, affordable housing? As the city, are you guys? Is there any initiatives you have going on?
Well, that's a difficult story to get into because, I think of the Tri-Cities when this all began many years ago. Batavia probably had the lowest housing prices of the three towns. I'm not sure. I think now we're more all on an even keel. There's been some experiences, and I don't know if I want to name names in this, but within the Tri-Cities, if you talk to some of the city officials, there have been some efforts by all three towns to bring some inclusionary housing into their town and say, I know one example was we were going to build a subdivision and the houses were all going to sell for $80,000. Now, this is many, many years ago.
Sure.
But they put them up, and right away they sold rapidly. And as you began to look at who was buying these houses, they really weren't getting in the hands of the young newly married or people of lesser incomes. They were being bought by real estate speculators and investors who held those houses for 2 or 3 years and then turned around and probably doubled their money because of the strength of the Tri-City market. So it would be hard to come in here today and say, well, we're going to put a house up and we're only going to, you know, I suppose you could put try to put some type of limitation on it, but it would be gone so quickly that I don't know if it would do that much. And if you tried to put too many in, I'm sure you'd start hearing from the other governments, specifically the schools, about, you know, don't keep giving us all these kids with no tax money or value coming behind it, because we need that to kind of keep our heads above water. So
when you think about some of the projects and things that are coming down the pike in Batavia, that would be interesting for the realtors to know about and members of the community. What, you know, whether it's industrial, commercial, you know, residential, are there any projects that you want to tell us about?
Well, I'd like to tell a couple things of it as, you know, let me disclose, I am a realtor myself, and
yes,
I have to be very careful in that role as that as the mayor. So I separately keep both jobs very separate, and I have very pronounced when I talk to anybody about, well, I'm talking to you as the mayor and I'm not talking to you as a realtor, or vice versa. And I've never gotten myself into trouble about it because I watch it very carefully. But where I wanted to go with this is that if you look at the Tri-Cities today, we are many, in my role in Chicago with the chairman of the Council of Mayors in there, we're kind of an envy of the many of the other areas, the strength of what they perceive to be our real estate community. Mm-hmm. And they point to such things as, number one, the quality of the school system. That seems to be the big thing. Second thing is the availability of nearby hospital medical care. Well, in our case, you got Delnor, you got Mercy Center, and you got Central DuPage on three different corners of the Tri-Cities, all within, you know, 6, 7, 8 mile radius for all the ambulances. So you got that. And then you got low crime rates in all three towns in comparison to others. So this is a very popular place to want to live. Now, the thing we are seeing in Batavia at the moment, we now have 6 senior living communities in Batavia that are set up to take care of, let people live there, and of various prices, and some are federally subsidized and some are very, you know, higher priced and have a lot of amenities, and that's good. But as you get into this thing, you find that the senior living community has certain things that they're wanting in the real estate market. And one of the things I find of interest that several of them have said is, we'd like to have you build houses on smaller lots, maybe 1 stories with basements, because we're grandma and grandpa and we live in Springfield, Ohio, but our grandchildren are now here in Geneva and St. Charles, and we want to get near our grandchildren. And I mean, that's a real driving force, at least at the city, where we're hearing from people that they hear about, gee, there's going to be a new subdivision at this location, and we think this would be someplace we would want to get because we want to get near these grandchildren. I've just had quite a conversation with Culver's Restaurant, which is now building in Batavia on Randall Road at Mill Street. And it's right there by Douglas Flooring. It's going to be their parking lot to the south. And you talk to the Culver's folks, and they freely want to know about all these seniors moving in because they describe themselves as the senior citizens fast food restaurant of America.
Because
they serve soups 4 or 5 a day, and they're serving salads, and they have this custard versus ice cream, and then it's very popular for them to go get their grandchildren and go there for lunch. And then the kids can have the hamburger and the french fries, and the grandparents can have the soup and the salad. I think that's what we're doing. But those are the big things that are going on. Another strength that I want to talk about in the Tri-Cities is what's around us. And in the case of Batavia and even St. Charles, if you look at what you've got here, you've got land uses that surround all three towns that probably prohibit us from becoming the next Naperville of the area. I'll use my own town as an example. If you go over on the east side of Batavia, what's next door to me is Fermi National Accelerator Laboratory. 6,800 acres, been off the development rolls since 1966, and will probably be off the development rolls for another 50 years because right now they're building a new accelerator out there. So that's not going to change. So that's 6,800 acres, no houses. Then on the other side of Batavia, we have the Nelson's Lake Forest Preserve assemblage, which was started by the late Phil Elstrom when he was on the Kane County Board. And he thought he wanted Batavia to have a unique future. So one of the things he did is, as Forest Preserve Chairman, which was among the jobs he had, he went out and started buying all the farms west of Batavia. And so if you go to the Kane County Forest Preserve today, or not today, but I did recently, and ask, how much land do we have assembled west of Batavia? Well, we have 1,643 acres that's off the development rolls. It's all owned by the County Forest Preserve. So if you put those two together, you know, you're up 8,500 acres of ground that nobody's going to build any houses on. It's going to be open space, and Geneva kind of has the same thing going with what's kind of happening to the east of Geneva, specifically to the west. The city, I believe, bought quite a bit of land off there, off of Peck Road and some of that area. And, you know, the same somewhat with St. Charles. And, of course, St. Charles has the IYC facility, which is yet to be determined what the future of that's going to be, but that's a big open space.
What's the outlook for kind of the development for the next couple of years as far as housing units? What are you guys budgeting for?
I would tell you, you know, we have the utilities infrastructure. I think all three towns do to support it. I would tell you that there's going to be, the minute you build a house, it'll be sold and occupied. Mm-hmm. And so some of the big home builders are on my doorstep in Batavia right now trying to negotiate for what loose lands are out there. And the other thing Batavia has is we have Moose Heart, which is 1,300 acres, although we've annexed some of that and allowed for that to be developed as a senior living community at some future date if somebody wants to. But
and that's on the southeast
corner of Main and Randall Road. The whole campus is 1,300 acres, and the city of Batavia has annexed 495 of it, all the vacant land there, to allow for this senior living community. And then we've zoned the Randall Road frontage to be for business use.
Oh my gosh. Are there anything new coming up that you wanted everybody to know about? Any new projects that we broke ground? What's coming in as commercial-wise in Batavia?
Well, we've got Slumberland coming. They're going into the old Art Van furniture store.
Okay.
And they're a big company, and they deal with everything to do with sleeping. So I'm told we have mattresses and pillows and sheets and nightgowns and TV sets and shower heads and everything that you need when you're going to go to bed and get up, and night lights and the whole nine yards. So they're coming, and then we have Chipotle is coming out, and
Starbucks
is coming. And so we've got, you know, some other neat little things going to be showing up on the doorstep here. And so we, like everybody, we got a little bit of vacancy on the Randall Road right now, but you know, in all three of the downtowns, we got pretty vibrant activity going on. And so we got a lot of specialty types of shops coming in to be utilized. And so I think there's, you know, it's a great place as a realtor to try to sell houses, because there's a lot of positivity to your speech.
Well, that's fantastic. Is there anything, I mean, I know you didn't have like a movie filmed in Batavia like we did in St. Charles.
But we did that a few years ago.
That's right. You guys had a couple of
Had several. Yeah.
Very nice. Well, today we were at the pleasure of speaking with Mayor Jeff Schelke of Batavia, and I want to thank you for your time.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Wish you well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great week, everyone.